May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1072. 1072. Jesus, Redeemer, Saviour, Lord, the weary sinner's friend, come to my help, pronounce the word, bid my corruptions end. Hymn 1072.
Thank you. May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. And I direct you to Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah and chapter 6. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, the Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, Gashmu or Geshem saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee in Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Delaiah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up. And he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Nodadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. It came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were round about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. There were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah. And his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me and uttered my words or matters to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we would pray for thy help now on this thy day. O Lord, that thou hast drawn near unto us. O Lord, do come according to thy precious promise, that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And O Lord, do come by the power of the Spirit. And O Lord, that thou wouldst draw us and we will run after thee. O Lord, that we may be in the Spirit on thy day. O Lord, do teach us, do guide us, do direct us. Grant us indeed that those true ears to hear, an understanding heart, and, O Lord, a willing heart. Oh, alas, so often we are unwilling, except in the old man, and that the flesh would be very willing in the ways of sin and disobedience. But, O Lord, do make us willing in the day of thy power. O Lord, that thy power may be manifested, that we be willing to follow thee, to serve thee, to wait upon thee, to show forth thine honour and glory. O Lord, we are weak, but thou art mighty. O Lord, do grant us that grace and strength by the Holy Spirit. Renew a right spirit within us, that we may, in humility and in patience, and with patience, serve thee and wait upon thee as we ought. O Lord, look in mercy upon us. Oh, we do so need the application of the shed blood. Purge our conscience from dead works. We may serve the living God. O Lord, be clothed in thy righteousness. To be granted of thy Spirit, to know of thy resurrection power, that we may be raised above worldly thoughts, that we may look up, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. O Lord, we do thank thee for thy precious word before us, that we have before us in our own language faithfully translated, that we may receive as thy word. O Lord, we would pray, do thou who art the word, O Lord Jesus Christ, come in the midst, work in our hearts and our lives and the churches. And O Lord, do grant thy blessing upon the word as it goes forth, the distribution, even those Bibles that are left outside the chapel here, and thy word that is displayed upon the wall, may indeed thy word speak. As the seed is sown and is scattered, O Lord, we do pray, according to thy promise, that it shall not return unto thee void. O Lord, we do pray that there may be much done by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, grant a true revival, we pray, in our land. For how indeed we have fallen. Wisdom turned to foolishness, order into chaos. O Lord, do have mercy. Do, O Lord, look in mercy upon our new Prime Minister and government, that they might be led to seek unto thee for wisdom, and may be given that integrity and wisdom in ruling rightly. Do, O Lord, be with our new King, and, O Lord, that he may be given thy grace and mercy, and wisdom in all things. O Lord, we would pray that thou wouldst be pleased to preserve our liberty of worship in the midst of many who would call for it to be overthrown, who would wish to call good evil and evil good. O Lord, we do pray for thy preserving hand. But, O Lord, our sins are such that we would richly deserve it if in thy righteous sovereign will thou should see fit to remove those privileges we've had of many years. But, O Lord, we do pray in the name of Jesus, thou wouldst be pleased to grant revival. But, O Lord, may we not take these things for granted. Alas, confess that we have done. And have not esteemed thy house as we should have done, or the ministry of the word, or the reading of thy word, or prayer as we should have done. O Lord, do renew a right spirit within us, we pray. And help us here, we do beg. And do bless the church and congregation and our brethren, the deacons here. O Lord, do grant thy provision, thy mercy and thy grace to rest upon them. O Lord, be with those who are unwell or those that have been sick. We do return thanks unto thee for as you're restoring back home for baby Charlie. And, O Lord, others that are unwell at this time, we do pray for thy healing. And, O Lord, for thy preservation. And, O Lord, that thou wouldst draw near to any that are in trouble or feel to be struggling, overwhelmed, or in disappointment or in loss. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to be with them, to help them, to encourage them, to direct any that are straying from that way or drifting. O Lord, do draw them back. O Lord, do preserve us each, that we may be redeeming the time, for indeed the days are evil and terrible things that we do hear. Indeed, even at this time, the celebration of that which is wicked and satanic. O Lord, look in mercy, we pray. Might there rather be a seeking unto thee and unto thy word, and unto the truth, the true light, in Christ Jesus. O Lord, we do pray for thy help then. O Lord, do open up the scriptures to our understanding. Do, O Lord, bless the word. Do help thy servants that are labouring this day. My own pastor at home and brother Jonathan in the ministry. O Lord, grant them thy help and thy blessing and thy one true church throughout this world. And the brethren that labour in other lands and in their midst many great difficulties, dangers, poverty, disease. Those that have not the scriptures, O Lord, we do pray that they would be provided, that way may be open, that many may receive thy word. O Lord, indeed we do beg. Grant, O Lord, thy favour. Do bless the work of the Trinitarian Bible Society in the sending forth of thy precious word. We would pray for thy help, thy grace to be upon each of the translators. And, O Lord, that word may be indeed sent forth with the power and unction of the Holy Spirit. And may we indeed know the anointing of the Spirit upon the word now. And grant us that true reverence, yet a true joy and peace in believing. For thou art a holy God, yet thou art a good God. Thou art a merciful God. And through thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, thou hast manifested that God is love. And, O Lord, may we know that true love and mercy in our hearts through the precious name of Jesus. We ask these things in his name. Amen.
Hymn 212. Why does your face, ye humble souls, those mournful colours wear? What doubts are these that try your faith and nourish your despair? Hymn 212.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. And I would particularly direct you to Nehemiah chapter 6 and a part of verse 11. Nehemiah 6 and a part of verse 11, and those words, "Should such a man as I flee? Should such a man as I flee?" And I said, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in," reads the entire verse. Our text presents a question. Should such a man as I flee? If the Lord will, we will first consider the context. Then we must ask that question. What about I? About you or me, should we flee? When should we flee? From what should we flee? When should we stand firm? If we are to flee, to where or to whom should we flee? Alas, it is true of us, we all like sheep have gone astray. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Too often we will flee this way or that way. Or if we are not literally fleeing in our bodies and our minds, we are ready to give up. Ready to turn back. Satan has well nigh persuaded us. It is vain. It is useless. Cannot go on any more. Now we do need the resurrection power of Christ. So reading 1 Corinthians 15 at that end of that chapter, which particularly speaks concerning the resurrection. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Although we should begin with some remarks concerning Nehemiah and the context, hope to come unto Christ. For there is our strength, there is our victory, there is our defence. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Satan would, as he would come in like a flood into our hearts and our minds and tempt us a thousand times over, or fear should assail us and all the forces of Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian should come to try and fill us with dismay. Now Nehemiah had the call of God. And that burden before the Lord, and he had that answer to prayer in that opening of the door, that he should be sent by the king of Persia to be the governor and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And his great concern was not some architectural work or some national pride, it was the honour and glory of God. And that reproach that the remnant that had escaped the captivity were under, it was the honour and glory of God. And he was, although he was the king's cupbearer, although he was appointed to be the governor, yet he was a humble man. And humble before God. And he was not one to be easily discouraged. How we do so need that grace. Alas, so often we are easily discouraged. The Nehemiah, he came and saw the desolations of the wall of Jerusalem. So I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days. It's very notable that it was on the third day that he viewed those desolations. And I arose in the night, there in a figure and a type. The Lord Jesus Christ rose the third day. In the midst of all the darkness and sorrow, that third day the Lord rose from the dead. And the weeping and the sorrow of the disciples was turned into joy. For they had all forsook him and fled in the garden. Oh, how merciful the Lord is, that even when we do so fail, the Lord is very merciful and very gracious. I rose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. And when he came to the rulers, we read, I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. As we read in those chapters following, that laughter and that mockery quickly turned to anger as the walls were builded. As that work progressed to the honour and glory of God, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the servants sent forth those threats of violence, tried to subvert, that is to, as it were, overturn, to turn away Nehemiah from that calling of Almighty God. And so will Satan seek to turn you away from that call of our Lord Jesus Christ. Follow me. They forsook all and followed him. That call, follow me. Satan will be very busy to try and use all manner of devices to get you to follow anybody but Christ, any way other than that one way. For the Lord's word and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Follow me. And Nehemiah, in that call of God, he was following. And there was much opposition. It is through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom. Sanballat and those around him sought to put him in fear, for they all made us afraid. Well, Nehemiah there confesses, made us, included him, For the word of the Lord is, fear not, I am with thee. Nehemiah doesn't set himself up as somebody who says, I was never afraid, never had any doubts, never had any faults, no sins, no. He confessed, we read it in Nehemiah chapter 1, his sins, like Daniel, we have sinned. We see here they all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work that it be not done. Now the answer is prayer. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. When the threatenings or the subterfuge, the trickery, deceit of the enemy. And Nehemiah was evidently felt that afraid. They all made us afraid. We turned to prayer to the Lord. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. When there are those things that come against us, that make us to fear, to tremble, how needful that we, in the name of Jesus, should turn unto the Lord in prayer. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Give me that strength to follow thee, to follow in that calling that thou hast called me unto, to be faithful therein. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Now one of the deceptions that they had sought to then to send were those who had been hired. Money had been paid for them to prophesy, to supposedly speak the word of God. And one such, we read in verse 10, afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Meetabel, who was shut up, and he said, let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. Well, they might, at first glance, might have seemed a holy, a right thing to do, to flee to the temple of God. But Nehemiah, a man of prayer and a man of humility, was given that discernment from God to discern whether this was the word of the Lord or not. So we read in 1 John 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Well, here was such a spirit to make him afraid, to make him flee. And there are many such. Satan has not improved in any way since those days. There are many such spirits. And the evil one that would have us afraid, have us to turn away, to flee, and may dress it up in a most holy manner. Satan quoted, or I should rather say misquoted, misapplied Psalm 91 to Jesus in the wilderness and that time of his temptation, that Satan would even have the Lord himself to turn away from that greatest of works, that work of salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ has said in prophecy unto God the Father, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And Satan would, there we see, seek to turn away. even to worship Satan. But the Lord Jesus Christ answered, "It is written, it is written, it is written," the word of God. That more sure word of prophecy. So we read in James, "Resist the devil and he shall flee from you." How are we to resist the devil? Well, Lord Jesus Christ is in his strength. Looking unto Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ is the word of God. And we can't be looking unto Jesus if we never look at our Bible. We'll never look to see there what is that which the Lord has revealed unto us. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my way." Now we do need to be in prayer. We may see there a spiritual word and know the power of the Spirit and that strength from on high. At a time when the adversary comes or the whisperer comes, whether it be the subtlety or the violence or both of the devil, that we may look unto Jesus and see there one who has triumphed, one who has wrought, gained the victory. But we see with, in comparing scripture with scripture, Nehemiah was a man of God, one who knew the word of God. He knew it was forbidden for him to take, to go into those places that were in the temple that were appointed only unto the priests. He was a man of God and he was a governor, but he was not a priest. And he gives this reason in verse 13 about those that were hired, about those prophets who had been hired by Tobiah and Sanballat. "Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and should do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me." Though it seemed a plausible thing, even perhaps a religious thing, a holy thing, to go and flee to the temple, but it was contrary to God's word. Satan can very easily dress up a way that appears to be holy, but in fact is sin. Just as Satan did with our Lord in the wilderness, the time of the temptation, but our Lord answered, "Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God doth man live." And Nehemiah was one who paid great attention to the word of God. And he saw there that this was sin. And it cannot be the Holy Spirit that could lead any prophet to speak of that which is sin. And he saw that it was a device of Satan, that he should either flee into the way of sin, the way of disobedience to God's word. That is what the adversary would have us each do, to flee from the calling of God and to flee into a way of sin and disobedience. And the devil may even dress it up as something that is holy or virtuous, but it is not. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Well, such a man as I. He's not making a boast of himself here. It's because, as we read earlier in that chapter, when they were trying to get him to come down to one of the villages, that they might, as it were, ambush and either capture or threaten or kill him there. He said, I am doing a great work. It's like Timothy we read of. Paul said, working the works of the Lord. I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Should such a man as I flee? Well, we cannot stand in such a place in our own strength. That's why Nehemiah prayed, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. The Lord Jesus Christ said, without me ye can do nothing. But we read in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Indeed, it is good that we should pray that the Lord give us that strength to press forward in that the Lord has called us to. That is in accordance with his holy word. That is for his honour and glory. For though a host of devils should come and seek to deceive us, to turn us away, to terrify us, yet may we pray now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Should such a man as I flee, that is the measure of the man here, Nehemiah, one who humbly cast his all upon God, one who had received that command of God, that one who was praying unto the Lord, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. It is perhaps one of the, I've known a little of it myself, and the Apostle Paul refers to it, it's the danger amongst the false brethren. It is perhaps one of the most concerning, frightening. It's one thing to have Sanballat and Tobiah out there in Samaria, but then to discover that those in the very temple of God are doing Sanballat and Tobiah's bidding. The first one who rose up to build, Eliashib the high priest, rose up and his brethren the priests. But then we read later that they were allied unto Tobiah in chapter 13, and before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah, and he had prepared for him a great chamber, wherefore they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, etc. And all the there was Tobiah's household stuff in the very temple. During that period that Nehemiah had returned, as it was his command and duty to the king of Persia for a period, and returned and found that the high priest had invited Tobiah into the very temple itself and displaced the offerings of God. And one of the sons of Jehoiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hand. And we would be filled, the devil would fill us with dismay. Let us turn unto the Lord in prayer, to pray that the Lord would strengthen us, that we would press forward into that which the Lord has promised and called. Should such a man as I flee? Yeah. And we consider our Lord Jesus Christ, the Gethsemane. The disciples all forsook him and fled. And we cannot point fingers other than at ourselves. We're no better. Peter was very firm in his own strength, that if all others should deny the Lord, he would not. But before the night was out, he was denying the Lord with oaths and curses and saying, I know not the man. And he was amongst the other 11 that all forsook him and fled in the garden. But the Lord Jesus Christ, should such a man as I flee? And he went out, came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. This is a temptation to flee from God's command and God's way. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could go through this terrible path and terrible sorrows. And kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples. He found them sleeping for sorrow. Yes, alas, we are often a sleepy spirit when we should be praying and watching. And said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. They asked the Lord, shall we do it? But never waited for an answer. Aren't we too often like that? Praise the Lord, shall we go this way? And before we get an answer, we've gone on it. How needful that we should wait upon the Lord. We've got to pray unto him to wait for the answer to the prayer. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. He touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders, which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Well, we do have to be careful. The Lord said, follow me. So take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And when I was in preaching last month in Africa, in Malawi, and a rural area, and I sat at the side and one of the African brethren was speaking, that part of the meeting. And opposite me was a door on the other side of the church building, and it was wide open gateway. And there were people making bricks across the the field. Then I heard all this noise and shouting and whistling. And at length, this yoke of oxen went past pulling a cart, being prodded and cajoled into going. Now, we're not very accustomed to seeing a yoke, but the yoke means that those two oxen had to go in the same way, the same speed, and to go together. You can't have one lagging behind or another going in an opposite direction when yoked together. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now that yoke, no doubt, was uncomfortable for those oxen, and they obviously didn't want to go where they were being told to go. Hence all the shouting and the whistling and as they went past. But the yoke of our Lord Jesus Christ is not like that. May you be drawn by love in his kindness and his mercy and his grace. That we should be drawn, yoked in love. We love him because he first loved us. And that we should go with him. And here we find Peter following afar off. At a distance, not to be noticed. But at length, he soon finds sin has got the better of him. About the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying to Peter, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is also a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. The Lord looked upon Peter. Look of love. Look of reproach. Of reproof. Had those reproaches fallen upon him? They had smitten him. That struck him on the face. The Lord was suffering. The Lord looked upon Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. May we not be satisfied to follow afar off in that manner. Should such a man as I flee? Well, our Lord Jesus Christ said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, had taken into union with his divine nature, sacred humanity, body and soul. Should come to the Gethsemane, which means an olive press, where the olives were pressed, squeezed, that the oil should flow out. There a fulfilment of that type in the Old Testament, where the light in the tabernacle was to be from the oil olive bruised for the light. Through his sufferings, there we are to know that precious light. The light of life, and mercy and grace, our Lord Jesus Christ, submitted into their hands, came to Gethsemane. There was laid upon him that terrible load the sins of every one of the elect, of the true church of God, the horror of it, and to be taken by that band of soldiers and to be abused, to suffer such shame and to be crucified. But yet he submitted into their hand, "Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done," he said in prayer unto the Father. There indeed is the foundation of our salvation. For if the Lord Jesus Christ supposed that he had fled, where would be our hope? Be utterly gone. But thanks be to God, our Lord Jesus Christ, gained the victory. He laid down his precious life, he shed his precious blood, and rose again for our justification, ascended into heaven, and is now at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Just at the time when we were almost ready to halt, ready to flee, ready to turn back, there he is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Hey, what a wonderful Saviour we have. How needful it is we should remember this. Just to the time when we're ready to give up, ready to turn back. But the Lord is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, having gained the victory. May the Lord so strengthen you and me to press forward. Say unto the children of Israel that they go forward, we read. Concerning children of Israel at the Red Sea, most of them were discouraged because there was Pharaoh's army coming marching. They could see them, they could hear them. The cloudy, fiery pillar came in between. This manifestation of Christ. There came in between the army of Pharaoh and the seemingly otherwise defenceless children of Israel. And they were safe all that night. And that wind, as the Spirit blew, and made a way where there was no way. And in that way the children of Israel were delivered, and the Egyptians who tried to go in that way, they perished. But let us consider for a little time, should such a man as I flee, are the times, places that we should flee from? Must flee from? We read in Isaiah 48. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth, say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. I read in the book of Revelation, that call to come out of Babylon, place of wickedness and of evil. We also read to flee from idolatry. That worship of those things that are usurping, taking the place of God, the true God. Whether they be literal idols or whether they be those idols in our hearts. Flee from idolatry. Flee from Babylon, those things that are evil. And not even to as much as touch those things. There are those things that we are to flee from. Not to try and walk as close to the world as possible and yet still have some hope of Christ. That's not the way that is set before us in God's word. We can't have the best of both worlds, as they say. He who is the friend of the world is the enemy of God. He cannot serve two masters. As the Apostle Paul gives that exhortation in 1 Timothy, I believe it is 1 Timothy chapter 6. And that exhortation is given to flee those things. Concerning the snare of riches, the love of money. Well, there's nothing intrinsically wrong in riches if they're rightly used. But it's the love of the things of this world. The love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil, but it's the love of it. For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. You can visit some of the stately homes that are no longer owned by the family who built them, and read some of their history and find that through they invested all their riches in the homes and the grounds and all the follies that they had built. And then you can read of the history of some, the family who inherited it and wasted it all on gambling and riotous living. Very common to see of that. And so it is the rich, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Some have said in their hearts, shall such a man as I flee from that very lucrative business opportunity or career, which I can make so much money? Can I really flee from these things? Well, not in our own strength. We have need of hearkening unto God's word and to seeking that grace from Almighty God to flee from those things. Where should we flee to? It's very clear in Hebrews and Hebrews chapter 6. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That fleeing unto the refuge. The trouble is, we too often get things the wrong way round. Fleeing to the world when we should be fleeing unto that refuge in Christ Jesus. Fleeing from the call of God when we should be fleeing unto that refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And the Lord will chasten if we are fleeing from the Lord's calling. It was so with Jonah. He fled from the presence of the Lord. although it seemed to prosper for a while in going down to Joppa and getting the ticket, and there was the boat. He obviously had the means to be travelling and setting fare off out of the port, but soon there was a storm. Even to start with, in the storm he was asleep. And the heathen sailors and master had to say, to awake, wake up, thou sleeper. Call upon thy God. Through terrible things in righteousness, he was brought to pray out of the belly of that great fish. But he still had to go in the where the Lord had called him to Nineveh. Although he had tried to flee, fled from the presence of the Lord, he still had to go. If the Lord has called to you in a matter, you'll still have to go. Even if you've tried fleeing from the presence of the Lord and fleeing from the commandment of God and try to flip over the page quickly if you come across it in the Bible. The Lord's word stands, follow thou me. We do read of the scriptural command, if they persecute you in one city, to flee unto another. There again we see where it is the Lord's command. The Lord Jesus has gone before. For the angel commanded to Joseph. We read of that in Matthew. In the start of the Gospel according to Matthew. Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. One of the chapels where I preach at, Ukrainian refugees attending, who literally have had to flee their own country. What a comfort it is that the Lord has gone before. As we were there, we see the Lord as a young child, a refugee. So in everything that is that right thing, the Lord has gone before. The Lord is he is the way, the truth, and the life. May in all things we be found looking unto Jesus. We read in the Acts of the Apostles where literally they had to flee from one place to another, but it was the means of the opening another door for the preaching of the gospel. They were following the commandment of their Lord. And it prospered. And it was to the honour and glory of God. So may the Lord give us that discernment to flee those things that we should flee from, to flee unto the place that we should be fleeing to, unto that refuge in Christ Jesus and in God's calling. That we should pray now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands, that we should be kept faithful. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Amen.
God willing, Dr. Satter will address Sunday School this afternoon and present some Bibles. Mr. Timothy Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach and administer the Lord's Supper. God willing, there will be a church meeting on the 7th of November. Let us close with hymn 179. Jesus is the chiefest good. He has saved us by his blood. Let us value naught but him. Nothing else deserves esteem. Hymn 179.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore.